Have you ever read something in the Bible and thought, where did that come from? Have you ever read something in the Bible and thought, how does this fit with what we are reading? Have you ever read something in the Bible and thought, that doesn't make any sense? Usually, when we find something like that in the Bible, we should treat it as an invitation to dig a bit deeper. Because if we are thinking that doesn't make any sense, usually the problem is with us and the way we are thinking and not with the text. So if we go to John 1 and verse 6 says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And for me, at first glance, verse 6 sounds like one of those verses that don't fit in the big scheme of what John is trying to say. In the verses before verse 6, we find John speaking about Jesus. Jesus the Word, Jesus who is God. John speaking about the Word who is Jesus, creating the whole universe. This Word that has life within himself. Life that finds existence in him. This life that is the light of mankind. And this light that no darkness can overcome. This Word, who is Jesus, God's Son in human flesh. And then all of a sudden, John says, here comes a man. Just a normal human being. Why? Why interrupt those wonderful verses about Jesus to speak about a man? Or maybe you've read those verses many times before and you've never noticed this. In that case, you're welcome. But this is not just any man. This is John the Baptist. This is the man of whom Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. So here is this man who is sent by God for a purpose and a mission. So is that why John seemingly interrupted what he was saying about Jesus? Did he do that to introduce this great and wonderful man who is sent by God? Why? Why interrupt something about God to speak about a man? Is it because God uses us, men and women, human beings, to point to the true light from whom we receive true life? I think the answer is yes. So my question for us this morning, did God send you? Do you think that you have a part to play for Jesus in this life? Do you? Verses 7 and 8 say, we're just going to read them. It says, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John came for a witness, or to be a witness to the light. John's mission was to point people to Jesus, the one and only true light, in whom we find true life. He was not the light, but as Jesus said in John 5:35, he was a burning and shining lamp. That was John's mission, to be that lamp to direct people to Jesus. So let me ask us again. Did God send us? Are we supposed to be witnesses to the light? Do we need to be like John the Baptist, pointing people to Jesus? Do we need to be as great as him to be able to point people to Jesus? Do we have to have our birth predicted in the Old Testament? Do we need to have an angel appear to our mom and dad to tell them that someone's going to be born? Do we? Do we need to be that great to point people to Jesus? In Matthew 11:11, where Jesus says that John is the greatest, he also says, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So let me ask you a question. Do you consider yourself to be least in the kingdom of God? That's not a problem, because Jesus is saying that God can still make use of you. So now, upon further inspection, we find that maybe, just maybe, there's a reason why the Apostle John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put these couple of verses there. Maybe he wants us to know that God has always, and God will always, use us men and women, normal human beings on this earth, to do his will and to proclaim his word to all people. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Yes, you. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Do you think Jesus is talking about you? If you don't, think again. God wants to use us, normal men and women. See, we never think that we are good enough. As humans, we prefer the spectacular. We like the spectacular. We would rather see angels proclaiming the gospel. We might even like rocks and trees, a bit Narnia-like, to speak the words of God and to speak about the glories of God to other human beings. We even think that maybe this would be helpful. We think that angels and the supernatural and talking trees and speaking rocks might do good for the kingdom of God and might do good for the advancement of the gospel. We think that those spectacular events would bring more people into the kingdom of God. But God uses men and women, human beings in our weaknesses, to point other men and women to the light from whom true life comes. So are you called by God to be a light? Let me assure you this morning that the answer is always yes. Yes, you are. Just as John was pointing people to Jesus, so can you, and so should you. You don't need to go overseas as a missionary. You don't need to be a minister. You can do that in your own home. You can do the work of God with your own family, with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your friends, with your workmates, with your neighbors. Just as God sent John, Paul says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid many of us don't take that position as seriously as we should. Verse 9, he says, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." We are not the true light. Jesus is the true light. But let me ask you a question. What is light? We take light for granted. Scientifically speaking, light is a wave that moves at a very high speed. And when that wave hits an object, it reflects back into our eyes. And that's how we are able to see that object. If there was darkness, that object is still there, but because there is darkness, we cannot see it. If it wasn't for light, we wouldn't be able to do anything, really. Life would not be as enjoyable without light. Think about your favorite outdoor activity. Think about your favorite thing that you like to do. Would you be able to do those things in absolute darkness? John is saying that Jesus is the true light. He is the one that gives spiritual sight to all of us. Jesus is the one that helps us discern spiritual and non-spiritual realities. He is the light that helps us truly see all things in this life. When we look at things in the light that Jesus shines, we can see them for what they truly are. There is no spiritual enlightenment outside of Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. People who are looking for spiritual enlightenment outside of Jesus, they are looking in darkness and they will see nothing. Do you want to understand life? Look at life in the light that Jesus shines. Do you want to understand death? Look at death in the light that Jesus shines. Do you want to understand marriage? Look at marriage in the light that Jesus shines. Do you want to understand parenting, sickness, health, money, work, hobbies, wars, famines, being rich, being poor? Look at all these things in the light that Jesus shines, and you will truly see them for what they are, and you will truly understand them. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know who God is? What does he love? What does he hate? What is he like? You can only truly come to know God through the light that Jesus shines. And you may be asking, okay, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we do that? And the answer is fairly simple. We do that through studying the Word of God. We do that through understanding the Scriptures. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When Jesus shines his light through his Scriptures on anything in life, we are able to see these matters more clearly. When we want to know God more, we get to know him through his revealed Word, through his Scriptures. We look at what Jesus told us and we live in light of that. Again, as humans, we might prefer the spectacular, but God uses the Scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit through the light of Jesus to help us come to know him better. That's how it is done. Let me ask you a question. What do you think the biggest tragedy in the world is? Do you think it was the Titanic? World War I? World War II? 9/11? Australia losing the Ashes? Maybe. Verses 10 and 11 are the biggest tragedy in the world. Have a look. He says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Jesus made the world, but the world did not know him. Still today, the world does not know him. Go to the shops. Go to the community. Go to the schools. Go to your unbelieving family members, to your unbelieving neighbors, friends, workmates, and see the biggest tragedy. See the world that does not know Jesus. Even though you may shine the light of Jesus onto that world, a big chunk of that world will still refuse to see Jesus. And John does not give the world any excuses. He simply says, they did not receive him. They did not recognize him as the true light. There is no excuse for people not knowing Jesus. They have no excuse for rejecting true light. But even more disastrous than the world not receiving Jesus is the rejection of his own people not receiving him. that's even more disastrous. He came to his own people, the Jewish people, the people of God, the people whom God called my people in the Old Testament, the people whom God chose out of the whole world to make his own, to make them into a nation, to make them into a kingdom. And his own people did not receive him. If you want to see the depth of the depravity of mankind, look at those verses and ponder them. God in flesh, in the world rejects him. God comes to his own people, and his own people reject him. These are the same people whom he rescued out of Egypt, out of captivity. These are the same people to whom he gave the law, to whom he sent the prophets, whom they killed. Those are the same people to whom the covenants were given. Those are the same people who are waiting for the Messiah. Here he is. But they did not receive him. And as human beings, we like to point the finger and say, they did not receive him. We're much better. Have you truly received Jesus? Have you truly believed in his name? Because verse 12 says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. But what does it mean to receive Jesus? What does it mean to believe in his name? What would your answer to that question be if I asked you, have you received Jesus? Have you believed in his name? What does it mean? To put it in simple terms, it means to receive him for who he is. Let's look at it from a different angle. Let's look at it from another perspective. John is saying that the Jews did not receive Jesus. So let's look at them. Okay? Did the Jewish people receive Jesus? Did they believe in his name? John is saying they didn't, right? They didn't receive him. But did they totally reject him? And the answer is no. They didn't totally reject him. They were happy for him to teach them. They were happy for him to feed them. They were happy for him to heal them. They were happy for him to be among them. They were happy to listen to him. They've had him over. They threw parties for him. They hailed him King of the Jews as they came into Jerusalem. But John is saying they didn't receive him. Why? In our day, there are many people who seem to have received Jesus. Last week, Adam was talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example. They seem to have received Jesus, to have believed in his name. The Mormons, they say that they love Jesus and that they are serving him. But have they truly received the Jesus of the Bible? And the answer is no. Have they believed in his name? And the answer is no. When Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking at the door, the Jesus that they are proclaiming is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's their own little invention. And those Jewish people who looked like they received Jesus, they haven't truly received him. They haven't received him for who he actually is. They might like what he does, what he says, but they haven't received him as their Messiah, as their King, as God. What about us? Have we truly received Jesus and believed in his name? See, when we receive Jesus, we receive him for who he is, with everything that entails. We don't get to pick and choose. He is God, and we need to submit to his authority. He speaks through his word, and we need to obey. He is Savior, and he alone is Savior, and we should eternally be grateful and totally satisfied with his finished work. We don't need to add anything to that. He said, it is finished. We don't receive Jesus in our lives. We don't believe in his name and then tell him what he can and what he can't do. We don't receive Jesus in our lives. We don't believe in his name and then shut him up in this little room that we call religion or Christianity and let him out just on Sunday morning and most definitely keep him in Saturday night or maybe Monday to Friday at work. That's not what it means to receive Jesus and to believe in his name. Believing in his name is not just about good theology. And for those of you who know me, like Michael is looking at me going, what do you mean, not good theology? For those of you who know me, you know how highly I esteem good theology and good biblical understanding. But you know what? The devil has better theology than all of us, and he's still the devil. It's not just about that. It's about obeying him. As we go through the book of John, you will see that believing in Jesus is about being obedient to Jesus, is about loving Jesus, is about putting Jesus first. We cannot say, Jesus, I believe in you, if you don't obey him. You cannot say that you believe in Jesus and continue living as if he doesn't exist. That's not what it means to believe in Jesus or to receive Jesus. That's not what true life is. Verse 12 says that those who receive him and believe in his name, he gives them the right or the authority to become children of God. You know what that verse is saying? The first thing that this verse is saying is that not everyone is a child of God. Are you a child of God today? Did Jesus give you the right? Did Jesus give you the authority through his sacrifice on the cross to claim that privilege? That's where the authority comes from. It comes from the cross, from his shed blood in our place for our sins. Because he justified us, we can become children of God. We can approach God and claim that privilege of being his child because of what Jesus did in our place on the cross. Verse 13 says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Children born of the will of the Father. God made us born again by his Holy Spirit through the authority that Jesus has given us. Listen, it was the will of the Father that you would become his child. It was through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It was through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life that you are born again. It's not through human descent. It's not by the will of man. It's not by the will of the flesh. Just because you are born into a Christian family, don't assume that you are a Christian. As someone said once, God does not have any grandchildren. You're either a child of God or you're not. You're either a child of God because he made you his child or you are not. The Jews thought that they were children of God because they are descendants of Abraham. John is saying, unless you receive Jesus for who he is, unless you receive him as the Messiah, the one and only true God, light of the world, savior of all those who believe, unless you believe in his name, the great I am, unless you accept his sacrifice for your sins, God will not make you his child and you will not have eternal life. True life is in Jesus and in Jesus alone. What a great honor it is, and what a great privilege to be a child of God. Christ offers himself to all of us through the gospel. He gives us the right to be his children. He gives us the right to be his brothers and his sisters, to be children of the great I am. He gives us true life, and he shines true light on everything in this life and in the life that is to come. It's not natural for us to be children of God. The Bible says that by nature, we are children of wrath. But God, by his great mercy and his amazing grace, makes us his children. So have you received Jesus today? Have you believed in his name? Are you a child of God? Have you been challenged by what you have heard? If you've been challenged, that's good. But I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be discouraged if you feel like you're not walking the way you should be walking. Trust me, I've been quite challenged by writing this down myself. We will not reach perfection in this life. We won't. Christians are measured by their direction, not their perfection. We will not be perfect this side of the grave. We will be in the life that is to come. But if you are walking by the power of the Spirit on the right road, on the road that the Bible calls sanctification, then you are on the right track. If God is changing your life every day, you are on the right track. This morning, I want us to take courage and to keep plodding with God and keep walking with him. But most importantly, keep pointing people to Jesus. And if you've never received Jesus before, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus before, you've never believed in his name, are you being convicted this morning that maybe you're not a child of God? I want you to know that God wants to save you. God wants you to be saved because of what Jesus has done. God wants you to repent from your sin and turn to him and believe in his name. Receive him in your life so that he may give you true life, because no one else can do that for you. Jesus is God. Jesus is King. He became flesh and he died and rose again, and he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. And we all need to repent and believe in his name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are merciful to us. Father, we thank you that you don't treat us according to our sins, but you treat us according to your mercy. And we thank you for the cross, and we thank you that you shine true light on our lives through your scriptures. Father, I ask you that you would help us to live for you and to walk with you. And by the power of your Spirit, help us to point other people to Jesus, because there is no life outside of him. In Jesus' name, amen.